Welcome everyone to our Sunday celebration. My name is Ben. I'm the pastor here. I realize that it's a little bit hot in here this morning. So we're actually working on that. So hopefully they'll turn the AC on for us soon. But I look at it this way, right? Hell is even hotter. So this is a good motivation for us to have a greater heart for people that don't know Jesus, all right? How many of you guys watched the UT game yesterday? So. Well, we weren't able to watch it because it wasn't televised. But we did watch the Michigan game. I don't know if you guys know, my wife went to University of Michigan with some of our leaders. I went there for grad school, so my undergrad is really small, like 5,000 students. We didn't really have a football team, so my adopted team is the Wolverines. And actually a depressing night in our family for two reasons. Well, first of all, they lost. Not only did they lose, but when the game started, we were trying to get our kids excited. Yay, go Wolverines. But once they looked at the uniform, they decided they liked the red uniform a lot better than the white and the maize and blue uniform. So they kept on saying, go red team. And they were rooting for Alabama, which broke both of our hearts. So it was a rough night for our family. Today we're going to be talking about the supernatural love of God. You know, when we think about who God is, he is supernatural in the sense that he is like us, yet he is different from us. That we are imperfect, that he is perfect. So within this perfection of who he is, he demonstrates his love for us, and his love for us is a supernatural love. You know, when we think about his love, oftentimes we think about these images. So I put up some images on the PowerPoint. First, when we think about love, we think about a love between a wife and a husband, right? It's very romantic. I don't know if they're, I'm guessing that's a beach somewhere. It looks like they're almost walking on water. Maybe it's because they're so in love. I don't know. But it's a beautiful sunset, right? I mean, this is something that we dream about, we envision. This is kind of like our picture of love. Or the next picture is maybe our family, right? When we think about love, we think about our parents or we think about our siblings and we think about the love in a family. Or we think about cute things like a dog and a kitten that makes us go, ah, right? I mean, I was trying to think about like all these different images. I was going to put maybe like a chocolate and a rose in there. But, you know, when you think about that kitten snuggling next to that dog, just even breaks the hardest of hearts, right? So this is our image of love. But I was thinking about God's love for us and God's love for the world. And I was thinking about what that would look like. And as I thought about what that would look like, I believe that maybe these are some of the images that might come to his heart. People that are in need, right? We can go to the next slide and then the next slide. You know, John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And when God says he so loved the world, I believe what he had in mind is this imperfect world filled with imperfect people. Yet it is this love, it is this world that he so desperately loved that he was willing to send his one and only son so that through his son that he can redeem this world. So that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about the supernatural love of God. There's two things that I want to talk about from this passage. Well, if you haven't turned your Bibles there, it's just John 3:16. There's two things that we want to talk about. First, we want to talk about the truth of God's love, and then not only the truth, but the challenge that it brings into our lives. The truth of God's love, but not only the truth, but the challenge that it brings into our lives. And today, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. I was really thinking about this, praying through this. How do I communicate this verse that is so familiar to all of us? I mean, this is a verse that if you grew up in church, it's a verse that you begin to memorize ever since you're little, John 3:16. Even non-churchgoers are very familiar with this passage. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So I was thinking about how do I communicate this message in a powerful and effective and yet relevant way. And I just thought about maybe what we can do is we can veer into examples and lives of people that are living out this truth. So what I want to do is I want to go ahead and show us a video clip. And when I first saw this clip, I thought, man, this really encapsulates this truth that God so loved the world. Okay, so let's go ahead and watch this together. All right, well, let me, hopefully we'll get there soon. Basically, hopefully we'll be able to see the video, but basically what the video is, it's about this person that goes into this one area where there's a lot of prostitutes and so forth, and he goes forth to bring the light of the gospel. And when you think about this verse of God so loved the world, I think it's more than just an intellectual exercise, right? Because it's the reality of what God did for us, that he sent his one and only son. And not only did he send his one and only son, but now he sends us out to go forth. And when you think about this verse of God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, the amazing truth here to me is that the love of God has the power to penetrate darkness. And the reason why the love of God has the power to penetrate darkness is when you think about it, it's because God is the one who meets us where we are. And I know that this is something that we've heard over and over again, but every time I hear this truth, it just really makes that impact in my heart because the verse here doesn't tell us that the world somehow loved God first. And because the world loved God first, that God needed to respond to that love. But what this verse tells us is that because God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only son. In other words, he took that initiative for a love for a world that is very unlovable. I think it's really easy for us in the church to see pictures of people that are in need. We walk around campus or we walk around our city and we see people that are in need, the homeless. We see people that are in need, the drug addicts. We see people that come from broken families. And it's so easy for us to think that, of course, these people, they need the love of Christ. It's so easy for us to think that, okay, it's the other people that live in other parts of the world. Maybe people that live in Syria of just what's going on right now, or maybe people that live in Africa that are struggling through hunger and famine and that are dying. Maybe when we think about Southeast Asia and all the women and even sometimes little boys and men that are getting trafficked and the slavery that's going on just in our modern day context. Of course, it's these people that need the love of Christ. But I think what this verse tells us and why it's so powerful is because it tells us that it's the world and that we are part of that world. That we need the love of Christ just as much as these people that we think are in need of the love of Christ. And I just feel like as I was praying through this verse, some of the video clips that I picked out, one thing that I just couldn't escape, the voice of God coming to my mind. And the voice of God for our church today is that he wants us to open our eyes and wake up. That he wants us to open our eyes and wake up because he has sent his son for you and he has sent his son for me. It's not for anyone else, but it's for us that are living right here. He sent his son so that we can no longer wallow in our indifference and our lukewarmness within the church. He sent a son so that we can go forth to be this tangible expression of the love of God in the lives of others. How are we doing, Becky? It's a no-go? Okay. Hey, yo, do you want to go into my backpack? I actually have the DVD with me. Let's see if that'll work. Okay. All right, let me read for us this quote from Francis Chan. He's a pastor as well as a famous author. This is what he writes. He says, while God doesn't need us but still wants us, we desperately need God, but we don't really want him most of the time. He treasures us and anticipates our departure from this earth to be with him, and we wonder indifferently how much we have to do for him to get by. And I think this is the big challenge, and I think Francis hits it right on the mark, because what he's talking about here, he's addressing the people that are in the church. And the truth that he speaks is that even though God wants to love us, we don't want to accept that love. And what God is thinking about is that eternal time when we are with him forever, but what we are thinking about is how much we have to do for him just to get by. Instead of responding to God's love and treasuring that love, we wonder how much we have to do for him. We wonder, where is that line where we can get to that point where we can just get by? But the truth is this, that we need to be touched by God's supernatural love, that we need to be touched by God's supernatural love. Maybe for some of us, it's in the areas of sin and struggle. Maybe we've been coming to our church and yeah, we read our Bibles and we pray, but there are still areas in our lives where we know that we need the supernatural touch of the love of God. Maybe for some of us, it's really this truth. And I'm going to go out on the limb here and say that, you know, when I think about some of the people that are in the church, some of us, when it comes down to it, and if we are completely honest with ourselves, you know, I think the truth is that sometimes we don't want to be saved from our sin. That we don't want to be saved from our sin. And what I mean by that is this, that we want only to be saved from the penalty of our sin. Because we've heard somewhere that God punishes us for our sin. So we genuinely actually don't hate the sin that's in us that causes us to be separated from the one that loves us, from the lover of our souls. But instead what we fear is God's punishment. So we don't actually want to be saved from sin. But what we want to do is we want to be saved from the punishment that God dishes out. And that's what happens with lukewarm people. Lukewarm people, they don't really believe that this new life that Jesus Christ has to offer us, that it's better than our old sinful ways. And so when we become indifferent, what we do is we do whatever is necessary to keep ourselves from feeling that guilt. As long as I don't feel too much guilt. And that's why we come to church. And we worship, and that's why we come to Bible study, and that's why we engage in these religious activities, if we're completely honest with ourselves. It's not because we hate the sin that's within us, but it's because we don't like feeling guilty. And so we do the bare minimum of good enough without requiring too much from us. But I think the awesome truth is this. You know, I heard a pastor speaking once, and he was saying he had this dream. And in his dream, his entire congregation was filled with people that he would never want in his church. In his dream, his congregation was literally, his pews were filled with people that were ex-convicts, people that were shooting up right there doing drugs, people that are making out. And it was just, he said it was crazy in his dream. His church and his entire church was filled with this. And when he saw the scene of what was going on, he was so angry. That they would dare come into the sanctuary of God and defile this place. So he began to chase people out. And as he began to chase people out, he said the voice of God came into his heart. And at that moment, God spoke to him and said, "Do you see the people out there? These are the people that I love. These are the people that need to experience my love in the church." And when he said the voice of God came, it just broke his heart. Because he realized all this time of doing ministry, that it wasn't motivated out of loving people. But it was motivated out of his own religious standard that he was imposing on others. And the challenge that God gave to this pastor was to love the people. Because as you begin to love the people, I will do the work of the transformation. Okay, so let's go ahead and watch this first clip. You know, when I think about this video, I mean, that's the power of the love of God, right? I mean, it's the most unlikely people group that we would think about, these transvestite prostitutes. But it's for people like that that he sent his son, so that they could experience love and life and freedom. And like what I was saying before, it's so easy to think about that situation and say, yeah, these people, of course they need Jesus. But what we fail to realize is that we are in need of that love and that touch of God as well. Then we need to be touched by God's supernatural love. And I think the amazing thing about the love of God is that he knows all about us. He knows all about us. Our shortcomings, our wickedness, our failures, our struggles. But despite everything that he knows about us, that he still chose to send his best. That he chose to give us all that he has. I mean, think about that. Think about our compassion for people. Because we are compassionate people. That when we see people in need, we do give. But when we give, it's usually what we whip out our wallet and we give them what we have. Or maybe we'll whip out our check and we write them a number. But what God did was he goes to the bank, he empties everything that he has, and with that, everything he gives freely without any condition. And I think that's the truth that we see here. Not only the truth, but I'm just going to end with this, the challenge. The challenge is this, that when we experience the radical and the supernatural love of God, it causes us to love others in radical and supernatural ways. It causes us to love others in radical and in supernatural ways. This is what John 20:12 says. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And I think this is a wonderful verse because when you think about it, it's the Father that sent Jesus into the world. But now what he's saying is, first of all, peace be with you. Just as what we read in John 3:16, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. And he doesn't just send us, but he sends us in that assurance that I will be with you always. He sends us in that power, that all authority and power has been given to me, therefore I send you. He sends us in love as he looks out into the crowd and he has compassion and he says they are like sheep without a shepherd. And he says to pray to the Lord of the harvest, to send workers into the harvest field. It causes us to love others in radical and supernatural ways. I want to close with this other video. I think this really encapsulates what it means to love others in a radical and supernatural way. Okay, so let's go ahead and finish with this video. Right. Well, sometimes you can make all the plans in the world, but it just doesn't go your way, so what can you do? Right, let me just go ahead and describe this. Oh, man, this would have been an awesome ending. It's about this guy that goes to a, it's this New Age festival that they have for witches. People that are, you know, like they worship, that consider themselves witches and so forth. And he goes into that purpose of wanting to demonstrate that God is greater than the darkness around them. Because he goes and he's with this guy and he has the gift of healing. He prays for people. He gets they get healed and so forth. So he goes into this convention of like witches and warlocks or whatever they call themselves with that one single purpose, that God begins to demonstrate his power. And so they go around and they meet all these people with needs. And so they start praying for them and they start praying for them and they start praying for them. But nothing happens. People don't get healed. Usually they receive word of knowledge and so forth, but nothing happens. But they keep at it until it becomes evening time, until finally God says, no, that's not what I'm all about. Instead of you going around and trying to demonstrate how powerful I am, I want you to simply stand here and as people come, and as I bring them to you, just pray for them and bless them and love them. And so that's what they begin to do. They make this huge sign that says spiritual cleansing. And you know, it's a new age thing, so people are like, spiritual cleansing, what's that? And as people come, he starts praying for them. And all he prays is that the love of God invade their lives. And he's,
but what would God do with this?
The love of God,
so far, the darkness I had experienced was composed of people.
God starts giving an insight into things that are going on into their lives. And as he speaks,
or he lost the battle.
Out, people are amazed.
So with that in mind,
how did that was the end of it.
The final scene is, there's these four kids that come. And three of them, they look normal. One of them, you know that he's into witchcraft. How do you know that? Well, because he's wearing like this red robe and he looks like he's going to kill someone. So as they come, he just simply starts praying for them. And as he starts to pray, that guy in the red robe asks him, to what God are you praying? And he says, I'm praying to the God of the universe that's everywhere. And then he says, what medium are you using to pray to this God? And he says, the way to the Father is through the Son, which is Jesus Christ. So I pray through Christ. And he says, okay, let's pray. So he begins to pray. And these are four young guys, never been to church. As he begins to pray for one of the guys, as he is about to lay his hands on his head, literally the guy gets knocked out. And then he gets up again. And he's freaked out, right? Because he doesn't know what happened. So he says, calls him and says, come over here. What happened? He's like, oh, I don't know, man. But it's really cool. I don't know what it is, but it's really cool. And he starts prophesying over this man. And as he starts prophesying, you could tell like his countenance just changes. And he comes, and as he's in the beginning, when he's receiving prayer, he just looks so skeptical. But as he speaks God's love over him, I mean, his whole countenance changes. Until he comes over to this last guy. Right? The witch or the warlock or whatever that terminology is. And he begins to pray. And as he begins to pray, he receives all this word of knowledge. So he begins to pray for healing of all the hurts that he's received and all the disappointments and all the people that have failed him. And as he begins to pray this truth and love over this person, man, the countenance just changes in his face. And there is a sense of peace that comes. And the key moment is he actually says, hold on. And he removes this robe over his head as a sign of respect to God. And this commentator goes on and says, I came into this place wanting God to demolish every power and every authority. But what God wanted to do was simply to love people. And for me, that's why this verse is so powerful. Because, you know, in our church, we often talk about spiritual warfare. But the greatest weapon in God's arsenal isn't some miraculous thing of healing people or bringing the dead back to life or, you know, whatever crazy things that we imagine. But the greatest weapon in God's arsenal is simply love. And that was the only thing that Satan was not able to conquer. It's because God loved, it's because God sent his one and only Son that he was able to redeem this world. And it's that supernatural love that he begins to stir within our hearts. And it's that supernatural love he sends us off to. Man, after I saw this clip, I was so excited. And I was thinking, man, if this is the kind of church that we belong to, a church that takes this verse seriously, that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I was thinking, man, every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as we begin to live out this truth, how exciting our lives would be. How fulfilling our lives would be. Two simple things I want to challenge us with. First is to simply ask Jesus to come into an area of your life that needs his supernatural touch. All of us, we have needs, regardless of whether we've grown up in the church or not. And I'm simply going to ask you to think about, what are these needs that I have in my life? Yes, maybe I accept Christ as Lord and Savior over this, but when it comes to my studies, when it comes to my future, when it comes to my relationship, I can't surrender these. I can't trust him in these. And God is asking you, what are these areas in your life that you once again need a supernatural touch? And the second thing is simply taking a risk of touching someone with God's love. You know, when you think about it, that's what makes Christianity exciting, right? That as you go on campus, that you have this opportunity to touch someone's life with the love of Christ. And the reason why at times this Christian life is so boring is because we are not living out the purpose in which God has created us for. And that is to be his hands and that is to be his feet. That if we are serious about reaching people that God so desperately loves, and if we are serious about saying, God, use me to communicate the supernatural love that you have for others and to touch their lives, man, I'm thinking how different our lives would be. Take a risk this week in touching someone with God's love, okay? All right, let's stand together. Moments like this, I really have to trust in God, right? Because preparing the sermon, man, I had everything. I was going to show this video, talk about this, highlight this, end with this video. It's going to be powerful. But guess what? Nothing worked out. So what do you do in moments like this? In moments like this, you have to believe that it's the Word of God. It's not some video. It's not some fantastical things that we see. It's not even like the compelling voice and the tone of the preacher, but it's this truth and the love of God that penetrates into our hearts, that reminds us once again that God is love. Not ordinary love, but supernatural love that consumes our lives. And that God is calling us once again to lay down our lives at the altar. And he is reminding us that it is my love that is sufficient for you. And my challenge to all of us is, can we respond? Can we respond? Father, I thank you and I praise you for this time. Even though at times things don't go in the way that we want, we know, Lord, that you are sovereign. We know, Lord, that you are in control. We know, Lord, that you are powerful and that you can speak and that you can move and that you can draw us closer to your heart. And Father, we need your Spirit right now here in this place. Because it has to be your Spirit, Lord, that moves in our hearts. It has to be your Spirit that brings about this conviction that you are love. And it is this holy love that comes over us. It is this powerful love that demands everything from us. It is this righteous love that sends us out. And it is a supernatural love that through us, that we are able to touch the lives of others. That you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son. And that whoever believes in you shall not perish but have eternal life. There's two things I want us to pray for before we close out our time. First, just pray, God, you know my heart the best. And as I stand before you in all honesty, what are the areas in my life that you need to touch once again with your supernatural love? What areas of my life that do I need to surrender, to be healed, to be set free? What areas of my life am I jaded? Am I skeptical? And the second thing that we need to pray for is, God, who is it that you are sending me to? that I can be used of you to touch the lives of others, to be this radical instrument in your hands, to bring about salvation, to bring about healing, to bring about renewal and wholeness. And that we are simply here to say, God, fill me up, Lord. Because you are the one who provide us with the fire and the spirit. And that we are simply here, God, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice and to open up our hearts, God. And that we need to be filled up by you. That we need to be touched by you once again. Can I just invite us to pray for those two things before we close out our time? Just ask the Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us. Simply pray, God, touch my heart, touch my life. And pray, God, send me out, that you will use me this coming week to be your hands and your feet. Let's pray together, shall we?